Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about the power of auras? Or better yet, do you even know what an aura is? Have you ever wanted to know about the human energy field that we all have and how it affects our prosperity and our future success? Can you imagine what it's like meeting a ghost? Yes, you heard me right. With Halloween week coming up, this is a perfect topic. Tell me, do you know what a psychic sponge is? Doesn't that sound interesting? Now, have you ever heard about a book called Miracle Prayer, or one called Divine Revelation, or one called Ascension? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for as Halloween approaches? Now, are you ready to meet someone and learn everything you ever wanted to know about ghosts? Yes, you heard me right, ghosts. If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'm going to be introducing you to a new guest on my show. She's a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful, inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice about auras and about ghosts. I'm pleased to announce that our show now has over 1.8 million listeners to date. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was the top 5% most viewed during 2012. Now, let me tell you about my guest, Janae. She is new on the show, and she is the author of 7 best-selling, award-winning books, foremost spiritual expert, highly acclaimed and greatly respected professional speaker, and pioneer in self-development. She has over 40 years experience as an educator in the consciousness field. Her books include Divine Revelation and Ascension, as I mentioned earlier. Interestingly enough, for 22 years, she studied in the Swiss Alps and the Himalayas around the world under the direct guidance of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, guru of the Beatles and Deepak Chopra. She served on the Maharishi's personal staff for 7 of those years. For another 20 years, she led the way in new thought and metaphysics as a doctor of divinity. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Dr. Susan Shumsky. Hi, Susan. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing today, January?
Oh, wonderful. You know, and this is a perfect time to have you on the show. This is Halloween week, and lots of people are talking about spirits, goblins, all sorts of scary things. But some of it isn't so scary, is it?
Well, it doesn't really scare me a whole heck of a lot.
Okay. I love hearing that. Let's start off with how your success story began. Would you share with my listeners where you were born, your education, and who your early mentors in life were?
Uh-huh. Well, it was the 1960s. I was a hippie. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was a flower child. And probably people don't realize that at that time, those of us who were really the pioneers of the human potential movement mm-hmm. in the 60s in the Bay Area, that we were seeking spiritual experiences. We were seeking spiritual enlightenment. And our gurus at that time were people like Timothy Leary mm-hmm. and Richard Alpert, who later became Ram Dass. And they were teaching us about consciousness expansion and how we could use LSD and these psychedelic materials to help us to expand our consciousness. And I was reading books like Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. I was mm-hmm. reading The Way of Zen by Alan Watts. I was reading the Tibetan Book of the Dead, as we all were, by the way,
of
us in that kind of consciousness movement. And I was reading in Alan Watts' book that you have to find a meditation guide. Well, in 1966 in Berkeley, California, you didn't exactly go to the yellow pages and find a meditation guide or yoga or martial arts or anything remotely similar to any of those topics. So I asked my roommate, well, you know, how do I find a meditation guide? And mm-hmm. he said, well, have you ever tried to meditate on your own, yourself? And I said, well, heck, I'll just give it a shot. So I went to my room, lay down on my bed, and just kind of prayed or asked for a meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I was propelled into an ecstatic state. There was a cord of energy that was rushing from the tips of my toes all the way to the top of my head. I felt like I was being plugged into an electric socket.
Mm.
And this energy was flowing, this ecstatic energy was flowing through my body. And so I figured, well, I guess this is meditation. I didn't know any better. Little did I know that I had my first meditation experience and my first Kundalini awakening all at the same time.
Now, what does Kundalini mean?
Kundalini is the energy within the body that wakes up. It flows from the base of your spine to the top of your head, and it is an indication of spiritual awakening.
Okay.
It is actually a form of what's called prana or chi or ki.
Okay.
And it is the life force energy flowing through your subtle body.
Okay. Now share with us after this amazing ecstatic state, Kundalini, what did your life change? What did you do? And to get into that state, did you use a certain word or did you just lie down and it happened?
Well, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I just kind of prayed for or asked for meditation. That's all I did because I didn't know. I didn't know how to meditate. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And it was not long after that that I actually, a friend took me to the Transcendental Meditation Center, and then I learned Transcendental Meditation. And then a couple years later, I was on the banks of the Ganges River studying to become a meditation teacher with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who was, as you said, the guru of the Beatles and the guru of Deepak Chopra.
Yeah.
And I stayed with him for many years. I was in his ashrams for 22 years, and I was on his personal staff for 7 of those 22 years.
Wow. And so you lived in India for 22 years.
Actually, most of his ashrams were not in India. I was in India. I lived in Europe for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there were also ashrams within the United States, and I stayed in several of those ashrams as well in the United States. And an ashram is a place, by the way, that you go to study with a spiritual master from India.
Okay.
In residence.
Yeah. Now, share with us what your family thought. I mean, how did people react to this change in this path that you were on?
I think my parents were very, very relieved that I went to be on with Maharishi and on his staff because they knew that you had to be free of drugs in order to join in TM. And so they were very relieved that I was no longer taking any psychedelic drugs or any mind-altering drugs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they were happy about it and they supported me in it. I think they would have preferred if I was in the United States rather than running around the world, but they would have liked to see me a little more often, I think.
Well, now let me ask this question. When this type of thing occurs in one's life, how do you support yourself? I mean, once you were on the staff, did you receive a salary, or how did the financial aspects of your life work out?
That's an interesting question. We lived in beautiful luxury hotels over in Europe, and then we were fed, and then I was given a wonderful salary of $25 a month. Out of that salary, it's pretty much paid for feminine hygiene products, and that's about it.
Oh, my gosh. And this went on for how long?
I was on that staff for 7 years.
Okay. Well, we now have established that Dr. Susan Chomsky is not a materialistic person.
I think you could say that for sure.
I think I would have had a hard time living on $25, but you did it, and it made you the person you are now. And then you went on after 22 years there doing that, then you came back to the States, and is that when you went to become a writer and create your own career? How did that come about?
Well, as I said, some of the ashrams were within the United States, so I wasn't in Europe for 22 years. I was in Europe for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then I founded something called Divine Revelation, which is a method for learning how to listen to the still, small voice of God within. It's actually a different meditation practice, different from TM.
Uh-huh.
And I help people to open to spirit, to open to the presence of God, to have direct divine experiences, and to be able to not only open to that inner voice, the voice of divine intuition within, but also how to distinguish and discern between that true divine voice
mm-hmm.
and other voices in your mind, how to test and trust the messages that you're getting from spirit with a capital S. So that's basically what Divine Revelation is, and I have been teaching that since about 1986 or so.
Uh-huh.
And so for the last over 20 years, obviously, I've been teaching that, and I have written 10 books since then as well.
Yeah.
I have 10 books in print now, and that all happened after I left the ashram. So
yeah, you became quite prolific. You have a wonderful story to share. I'm thrilled to have you on our show. We're going to take a break and hear about your host. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Susan Chomsky, a real-life ghost whisperer, and we're going to ask her some questions about why people become ghosts and some things that are more relevant to the Halloween season. I also want to discuss with her some information. I have some questions about the power of auras. We'll be right back with Dr. Susan Chomsky.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Welcome back with my guest, Dr. Susan Chomsky. And we're going to ask her, and she, I certainly think, is another priceless personality that I'm happy to share with you, everything you ever wanted to know about ghosts. Now, Susan, why do some people become ghosts while others cross over into the light? Why do some people stay behind?
Okay, well, let's just back up a minute and talk just for a moment about what this light is and what happens after death. So I'm sure you've heard about the near-death experience in which people who had some physical problem, they flatlined for a period of time,
mm-hmm.
and they were as if brain dead, and temporarily. And they often see like a tunnel. They often see a light. They mm-hmm. often go into the light. They meet a divine being. They have a life review. There's many things that happen that have been reported by tens of thousands of people who've had the near-death experience. And
yeah.
I actually believe that this is really what does happen after death, is that
uh-huh.
the soul does see a light, goes into the light.
Light.
And there are some souls, though, for several different reasons, for a number of reasons, I've counted 15 reasons,
uh-huh.
that they do not go into that light after death. They get stuck, they get stranded, they get lost, they get confused. They don't know where they are, or they just don't even believe in
uh-huh.
the light. They don't believe in an afterlife. They don't believe in God and so on. So there's many different reasons why a spirit does not move on into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of those reasons might be, for example, perhaps the soul feels that it has unfinished business,
uh-huh.
that it didn't really get to complete what it wanted during this lifetime. And there was a movie about that,
yeah.
Ghost, with Patrick
uh-huh.
Swayze. And
wonderful.
He wanted to finish some unfinished business, and in fact, he was also seeking vengeance. So there were a couple reasons why he didn't move on. But once he had finished that, he did, at the end of the movie, move on into the light. And it was a very well-done movie, I felt,
mm-hmm.
and it was very accurate, that movie.
Really?
So I really liked that, yeah.
I love that movie, and I think it was a very popular movie, and I think it opened up a conversation in a lot of people's minds about the fact that there are ghosts surrounding us every day, aren't there?
Exactly. There are. There are people who have not moved on into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why that happens is, I'm going to talk about another movie now, is that perhaps the spirit was unaware of their own death. They just didn't
oh.
even know that they were dead.
Okay.
This happens if the person has had an unexpected accidental or a violent death,
mm-hmm.
sudden death, and they don't even realize that they're dead. This would not happen to a person who is on their deathbed lying there with a terminal disease because they know they're going to die. But when someone just suddenly dies and didn't expect it, then they might not know they're dead. And I know that sounds really nuts, but
mm-hmm.
the fact is that at death, nothing happens. You're still the same person. You still have
yeah.
the same mind. You still have the same ego. You still have the same senses. You can see, hear, taste, smell. You are still the same person, but you're just not in that physical body anymore. So there was a movie called The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis, and he played a character who was murdered. Someone
mm-hmm.
shot him
mm-hmm.
with a gun, and he was suddenly, he just didn't even know he was dead, and he's wandering around trying to talk to people. They're not talking back
yeah.
to him, but he still doesn't know he's dead, you know.
Yes.
And this can happen. This is realistic. It really does happen. And there are people who hang around for a very long time in that state.
Wow. And so they hang around, they're trying to connect, they don't know they're dead, and obviously when no one acknowledges them or they're completely ignored, they're probably going to figure it out. You know, of course, maybe not. So many people have shared the exact same details about the near-death experience and going through the tunnel in the white light. Isn't it interesting that in the 60s, this no one talked about it. And now we have movies, books. It's a pretty hot topic, isn't it?
Well, yes, because everyone wants to know what's going to happen after death.
Yeah.
And no one has lived to tell the tale. But
yeah.
thank goodness there are some people who actually have lived to tell the tale because they
yeah.
have lived it for a brief time. But
yeah.
then they can come back and tell us what's over there.
Yeah.
And it's very inspiring, actually, to hear these stories.
Now, tell me, what happens if a person gets possessed by a ghost, and how does that happen, and why does it happen, and how do you cope with that sort of situation when you're possessed?
Okay, right. So possession or oppression or astral influence, these can happen. It's real. You know, it's not a fantasy. people do get possessed by astral entities.
Mm-hmm.
And the most common cause of possession is if the soul has an addiction of some kind. So, for example, the soul is addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to sex, to food, to some mm-hmm. kind of addictive substance.
Uh-huh.
And that soul is dead, all right? They have uh-huh. no body anymore, and the body is just lying there, stone dead. They can't use that body anymore,
mm-hmm.
and they can't use that body to continue to enjoy their addiction, yet they still have the craving. They still have the addiction. So what do they do then?
Uh-huh.
What do they do? Well, they might attempt to attach themselves to a living human in order to continue to enjoy their addiction. So what kind of person would they try to attach to? Well, most likely they would attach to another addict. But they could attach to anyone who is weak in some
uh-huh.
way. Could be an addict, could be somebody who's depressed, who's ill, who's just had an accident. Anyone, even someone under anesthesia or,
uh-huh.
you know, or an alcoholic, you know, that's who they would attach to. Most likely another addict, but it could be anyone who's nearby, who's handy, who has a weakness. And then if that person is not an addict, well, they soon will be one because this possessing entity will change their habits and will influence them to now become an addict so that possessing entity can enjoy the pleasures of the flesh through that person.
That is fascinating, and I've read a lot and studied, but this is the first time I've heard anyone talk about ghosts who attach to addicts, and it does make sense, doesn't it? So what do you do if you have an addict or a ghost attaching and trying to possess you? How do you fight back? How do you regain your life?
Right. So that's why it's so important to learn how to keep your energy field closed off to the lower astral levels of mind, and to also learn how to heal these entities and help them to move on into the light. So in my book, The Power of Auras, and in some of my other books as well, I teach people how to do that, and it's not really rocket science. It's pretty
mm-hmm.
easy. As a matter of fact, I could give you a couple of methods right now. I could give your listeners if they're interested in learning that.
I'm sure I'm interested, and I'm sure my listeners would love to hear how to get rid of someone who is influencing you in a negative way.
Right. So the first thing that I would like to teach would be a affirmation that you would use in order to keep your energy field closed off so that you do not suffer
uh-huh.
any kind of possession in the first place. And this would be what I call the self-authority affirmation. So this affirmation helps you to gain greater self-empowerment, inner strength, to be able to stave off any kind of astral attack, any psychic vampire attack, and
mm-hmm.
to help you to become more centered, more balanced, more in yourself, more expressing who you really are. Now, when you say this affirmation, I suggest that you say it from the level of your higher self rather than your ego self. So how you do that is you just pretend as if your higher self is saying the affirmation with inner strength and power rather than saying it from your small S self. Say it from your big S self. Just pretend.
Okay.
All right, so this is how it goes. It goes like this. I am in control. I am one with God. I am the only authority in my life. I am divinely protected by the light of my being. I now close off my aura and body of light to the lower astral levels of mind, and I open to the spiritual world. Thank you, God, and so it is.
Wow. Oh, that's a very powerful statement to make, and thank you for sharing that. And I'm sure that a lot of people out there who are listening will write this down and apply it to their lives. It's really an interesting approach, and I'm sure that a lot of people don't even realize that they're possessed, do they?
They certainly do not. Well, if you're actually possessed, mm-hmm. you would probably be mentally ill.
Uh-huh.
If you are being influenced or if you have an oppression, then you might be under the influence of that entity, which means you'll be getting drained by that entity. You will mm-hmm. feel depressed. You'll feel as though something is
wrong.
Something is not right.
Yeah.
Something's
yeah,
definitely
sure.
wrong.
Yeah.
And that you are having, for unknown reasons, you're just getting into temper tantrums and mm-hmm. you're having nightmares, and there's
yeah.
Several different symptoms that indicate that you have an oppression of
okay.
an astral entity.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to take a break and hear from one of our, about a group that I support, and I hope our listeners will support. And when we come back with Dr. Susan Chomsky, she is going to share her website information and tell us about where we can get her books. And also, we're going to talk about places that are haunted and what you should do if you see, hear, or sense a ghostly presence this Halloween week. We'll be right back.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being. Provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with a priceless personality, our guest today, Dr. Susan Chomsky. And we're talking about everything you wanted to know about ghosts. Dr. Susan, first, would you share your website information and tell us where we can get your books?
Great. So my website is www.drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org.
Okay.
And also I have another website, which is divinetravels.com. That's divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, travels, T-R-A-V-E-L-S.com.
Okay.
And so.
And your books are at, are they at Amazon?
Yes, all my books are on Amazon and any other bookseller. You can
uh-huh.
get the book at any bookstore. Just ask them for The Power of Auras is my latest uh-huh. book.
And are they in Kindle format?
Yes, all
okay.
my books are in Kindle.
Wonderful. I'm happy to hear that since I am addicted. We're getting ready to go on a trip, and I downloaded 7 books today. So I will definitely
awesome.
be downloading your books. Now, Dr. Susan, why are some places haunted? And you hear about it. You hear about haunted houses and haunted places. Like Halloween, everyone's decorating haunted houses and trying to scare people. Why are some places haunted and others not?
Okay, so this, we're going back now to why spirits become earthbound. So one
uh-huh.
of the reasons the spirits become earthbound is because they have an over-attachment to the earth plane
mm-hmm.
or to material possessions on the earth plane.
Okay.
Or to activities that they used to be engaged in on the earth plane. So they might haunt their old house, or they might haunt a theater where they were an actor. They might
oh.
haunt a battlefield where they were murdered. They might haunt a specific restaurant where they were working. You know,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, wherever they used to be, they're still hanging around that place because they have an over-attachment to the material world and to these places.
Mm-hmm.
And they can hang around for hundreds of years. I mean,
yeah,
just be around there for a very long time.
Yeah, well, we're in our little town. We have a restaurant, and they actually advertise it as a haunted place, and because of the long history, and apparently whoever is haunting it has been there for many, many years. What do you tell people to do if they see, hear, or sense a ghostly presence? What is your advice?
That's a really good question, January. And anyone can heal these entities and help them move on into the light. It's really not rocket science. It's very simple to do. You simply speak lovingly directly to the entity, and you fill and surround them with love and with light, and you tell them that they're forgiven and so on. And then you convince them to move on into the light. And I can give you a little formula right now. I can give your listeners a little formula for them to use.
Okay.
I have several formulas in my books, including my latest book, The Power of Auras. But here's one of the formulas. It goes like this. And I'm speaking directly, by the way, to the entity or entities when I say this. All right, beloved ones, you are unified with the truth of your being. You are lifted in divine love. You are forgiven of all guilt and shame. You are healed and released from loss, pain, confusion, and fear. Divine love and light fill and surround you now. Attachment to the earth plane no longer binds you. You are free to go into the divine light now. Go now in peace and love.
And you have to hope and pray that you get through to them. That's a very powerful statement to make to anyone dead or alive. Now, what do you do if you're feel that like your house is haunted, or like this this restaurant, they're making money off the haunting, but what do you do? Do you get an exorcist? What if there's poltergeist activity? Now, you hear about that all the time, and gosh knows, they've even made movies about poltergeist.
All right, so let's just define what a poltergeist is. A poltergeist is really a German word, which means mischievous ghost. A poltergeist is a type of ghost that rattles the windows and the doors and moves the furniture around and cracks the mirrors and turns the TV on and off and so on. So that is kind of a very frightening experience for many people, to have that kind of go bump of the night kind of experiences going on in your own home. So obviously you need to help those entities move on into the light. Now, I'm just going to address another issue, and that is, you know, these people who are making money off of these dead, poor, unfortunate dead people, like the restaurant, for example, or the ghost hunters on television. I really believe that they should educate themselves as to how they can help these beings move on, because these souls are tormented, and they really need to be helped. And just perpetuating their ghostly apparitions is not really going to help them. It might help somebody's bank account or pocketbook, but, you know, I just really feel that people need to help these poor souls to move on. So what you would do, for example, if you have a haunted building, and this is what I do, I will use prayers such as the one that I mentioned, that I just taught you, plus other prayers that are in my books, especially in the book, The Power of Auras. And what I do is I walk around the building and open up all the cupboards, open up all the doors, open up all the closets, open up every door, and then walk around the building and hold my hands out in blessings and just continue to say, dear ones, you are healed and forgiven. 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 I continue like that throughout the entire house, and then use some of these healing prayers that I've just been telling you about and help them to move on into the light. You can transform any building, any haunted building, into a sacred space through using the power of prayer, the power of your word in prayer.
Okay. Now, what if you're dealing with, you know, like a good ghost, one who you can help, but are there some ghosts that are like bad ghosts and are these the ones where they get an exorcist or a priest to come in to drive them out?
Okay, so let's talk about that for a moment. Exorcism. The word exorcism means driving out evil spirits. At least that's what it says
evil.
In the dictionary.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, so first of all, most of the ghosts are not evil, number one.
Uh-huh.
Number
okay.
two, if you drive them out, they'll just go somewhere else. Instead of possessing the person that you're healing, they'll go possess your mother-in-law. Or a child, or a dog, or your next door neighbor.
Yeah.
They'll just go elsewhere. So what you need to do is help that ghost to move on into the light and not bother anyone anymore because they've gone into the light.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that would be the ideal situation. There are some spirits, however, that are not willing to move on to the light.
Yeah.
They're not
yeah.
willing to be healed.
Right.
And that can happen. Yeah, so you do your part, and
mm-hmm.
if they go, they go. If they don't, they don't. But you've done your part, at
mm-hmm.
least. You've tried to help them to move on.
Mm-hmm. Now, what in your promo information, there's a term called disunion from organ donations and contracts with dark forces. What is that all about?
Okay, well, now what you're referring to is some of the reasons why the spirit does not move on into the light after death.
Okay, okay.
One of those reasons possibly could be that they believe that they've made some kind of a contract with dark forces.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that they have made a pact or an agreement, and therefore they think that they cannot move on to the light. But the reality is that no matter what kind of agreement, pact, or vow, or anything you've made any time in your lifetime, you can choose to go into the light at any time. There's always an opportunity to go into the light. There is no forsaken soul. There's no one who has
mm-hmm.
been condemned
yeah.
to hellfire or anything like that. Everyone has the opportunity to move on into the light after death. And it's just a matter of choice. And a soul can at any time choose the light. They will see the light, and they can go into the light. So that is what I was talking about with regards to contracts uh-huh. with dark forces.
Yeah.
In reference to disunion from organ donations, okay,
mm-hmm.
so that is
yeah.
a situation where the person unknowingly goes to the DMV and signs an organ donor card without really considering the consequences.
Uh-huh.
Because if that person believes that this physical body is all that there is, and that at birth you are that's when you start to exist, and then at death that's when your existence completely ends, and there's nothing after death,
mm-hmm.
that there is no afterlife, that the soul is not separate from the body. In other words, they believe that the body and the soul are one thing, and that when the body dies, the soul dies and everything dies.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, if you have that belief, then when you die and they start carving your body up
mm-hmm.
and dismembering your body to get
yeah.
these organs out,
yeah.
then you're not going to be real happy because you'll still be alive. You'll still be there.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, I'm still here, and now they're carving up my organs.
Oh, wow.
All right, so that can be a very disconcerting situation. However, if that soul knows that he or she is not this body, that this is just this temporary shell that you're inhabiting, and that you're a spiritual being who is moving on away from this body,
mm-hmm.
then it's fine to donate your organs.
Okay.
It will not prevent your soul from moving on.
Yeah, and you hear about so often people who have had organ donations. They sense they feel close to the person that donated the organs, and I think it all depends on what frame of mind that person was when those organs were donated. Those are interesting terms, and things that I've never heard about before. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsor. When we come back, we're going to talk about the power of auras and the amazing book that Dr. Susan Shumsky has written to share with all of you. We'll be right back.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I hope all of you out there listening will become socially fit. We're with Dr. Susan Shumsky, and we're talking about her book, The Power of Auras. Readers will discover these subtle energy fields both in individual and cosmic life. They will understand how this energy has been studied worldwide throughout the ages. The Power of Auras operates on four levels: inspirational, informational, instructional, and experience. This is an amazing book, and in the ancient Greek language, the word aura means breath of air. How did you come about writing this book, and how long did it take you to write it?
Most of my books, including this one, takes about 6 months to write.
Uh-huh.
And I also illustrate the books as well, many of them. This one is a highly illustrated book, and the illustrations take quite a long time to create as well.
Uh-huh.
And
now, you talk about astral healing, and this is another term that's new to me. What is astral healing, and how is it done?
Okay, astral healing is exactly what we've been talking about tonight. We've been talking about helping these souls move on into the light. So astral healing or entity healing means that you are speaking lovingly to that soul and convincing it to go into the light after death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, since this is our Halloween show in this week, tell us how people get in trouble playing with the occult.
Okay, well, I'm going to just give you a little story, a little example of a woman who got into a lot of trouble. Her name was Sophia, and she was a very sensitive college student in her 20s, and she always dressed entirely in black.
Okay.
And she was frequenting Ouija boards, tarot cards, and automatic writing.
Mm-hmm.
And she started to hear three, quote, real nice, polite, friendly spirits that, quote, talked a lot all day long. And she thought they were her friends, and she often asked them for advice. And when they went to bed, she said goodnight, and they stopped talking, you know. They would they would say goodnight, and they would stop talking so that she could sleep. But while she was awake, they were talking to her all the time. And then later on, they started to get mean, and they said bad things like the N-word and you're a murderess and things
that.
Uh-huh. And
so
the voices began, the voices became so persistent that she became exhausted and confused, and she could no longer carry on a conversation. And she dropped out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And when she asked the spirits to leave, they berated her even more.
Mm-hmm.
She became very ill. She was vomiting intensely for 20 days, and then she was sent to a mental institution, to a mental health institution for a year. even though, you know, against protein, she didn't want to even see a psychiatrist. She didn't think she needed help or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
she ended up in the hospital. And then she told the psychiatrist later on that she could not understand why her parents had taken her Ouija board away.
Okay.
But she did say that she was still doing automatic writing and she was still having fun with her three spirit friends who
uh-huh.
had returned.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then you're
so this is an example
of what can happen.
Of the kind of horror story that can happen. If you are playing, for example, with the occult without knowing what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
there is